The next case is Stewart versus the Office of Personnel Management. Mr. Yancey, oh, the number is 24-1024. Mr. Yancey, when you're ready.
All right, I'm ready. Your Honor, I want to thank you for taking the time to meet with, to hear Anthony Stewart's case. He feels very strongly about this issue. The issue is whether the Merit Systems Protection Board correctly affirmed the determination of the Office of Personnel Management at 5 U.S.C. 84-11C2, that Stewart is entitled to include periods of military service that he performed before entering civil service in the computation of his federal employee's retirement system annuity because he's receiving military retired pay. The court should reverse the final order of the Merit Systems Protection Board's decision or remand it to develop the facts of the case, specifically for 5 U.S.C. Section 84-11C2. The petitioner performed active duty military service with the U.S. Navy during the following time periods. It's March 25th, 1974 through March 22nd, 1979, March 18th, 1981 through March 16th, 1984, and July 23rd, 1985 through April 23rd, 1991. During this time, the petitioner worked in the grade of chief machinist mate while in the U.S. military.
So we're familiar with the facts. Can you just get to the legal issue? It seems to me that the board found, based upon the plain language of the statute, that he couldn't use his military service to as a credit for civil service because he was receiving military disability pay based on that period of military service.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that correct, what the board found?
That is correct, that the board found.
I mean, what's wrong with that? The statute says if an employee or member is awarded retired pay based upon a period of military service, that's not credible.
I understand that, Your Honor, and it really just depends on Anthony Stewart's interpretation of it. He is still convinced that because it was based on the percentage of his disability or at least communicated that way to him,
but that doesn't matter because this section right below it recognizes that you can get an exemption if it's a service-connected disability. So the statute itself understands that military disability pay is based upon military service. 2A has that exception. How could we read this any other way than to say you don't get civil service credit if you're getting a pension based upon military service, except if it's service-connected disability. This is not service-connected disability, right? It's just a military disability pay.
No, it's a service-connected disability.
But it has to be service-connected and in connection with certain events such as incurred in combat or caused by an instrumentality of war and so forth, which he doesn't, I take it, qualify.
Well, he did actually. The petitioner lived on various instrumentalities of war throughout his active duty service in the
U.S. This case is not about whether the board properly found the exception in A, though, is it? I didn't see that in any of the briefs or the board's decision. That's a different argument that he's getting a military disability pay, but he can still credit it because it meets one of these conditions in subsection A.
Understood, Your Honor. He didn't necessarily make that argument because he didn't have the records, but he did assert that he did work and he did become injured while working on an instrumentality of war, and he received Armed Forces Expeditionary Medal and the U.S. Navy Expeditionary Medal for Lebanon in 1983. But I understand the point that you're making.
It seems to me that your argument is basically because of the happenstance of how his specific military disability retirement was calculated, this statute doesn't apply because you say since they didn't do a formula where the input was the years of service, they did a formula where the input was the percentage of disability, the statute doesn't apply. But that just doesn't seem to me to be what the statute's about. I mean, what if the way the calculation was done was something, you know, just absurd, like, I don't know, flipping a coin or something? Just because they calculate the amount that's actually paid doesn't mean that the fact that they're calculating and trying to give him a benefit is not, quote, based on his service, does it?
No, it doesn't, and I believe part of it is just the way that it was confusing to the to Mr. Stewart. He understands that legally that there may be flaws to his argument. However, it was presented to him differently when he was applying for retirement, and that is the heart of his case. As far as in the joint appendix, the communications that were sent to him made it appear as though that it was based off of his disability rating and not necessarily, and not that, that they did not necessarily use all of the periods of service for his statement. And then the case that was referred to, Baba Kaitis, the court concluded that receiving USRS credit for his earlier period of service was not double counting those years because the calculation of Baba Kaitis' disability annuity was based on, one, a disability which occurred during his final period of military service and, two, the extent of his disability, not on the total length of his military service. And that the court concluded that the annuity must actually be based on the period of service and not just based on the period. Oh, sorry. Oh, I wrote that incorrectly. But the idea of it is that the way that it was communicated to him confused him, and he thought that his period of service should not be counted and that he should be allowed to buy back his military time while keeping his military retired pay.
Do you have anything further?
No, sir.
Okay. Thanks. We'll save your time for rebuttal. Let's hear from the government now.
All right.
Good morning. May it please the court. The court should affirm the board's decision because Mr. Stewart does not meet any of the exceptions to Section 8411C2. 8411C2 prohibits the double counting of military service for both purposes of military retired pay and civil service annuity. Reading the statute the way Mr. Stewart proposes would read the exceptions in C2A right out of the statute.
So it seems to me that the hardest question in this case is how you would deal with Baba Kaitis. And could you give us a succinct distinction of Baba Kaitis without going into great length of the particular circumstances and so forth? What is the core distinction between this case and Baba Kaitis in your view?
In Baba Kaitis, the question was whether a subsequent period of service could nullify the employee's entitlement to credit for the military service served before he entered his civilian service, his civilian employment. So it was about whether that second period could nullify the entitlement, the payments that he was getting based on that first 10-year period of time. What Baba Kaitis was not about is the facts in this case. In fact, the court in Baba Kaitis said that Mr. Baba Kaitis, quote, accepts the statute would exclude his initial 10-year period of military service from his CSRA annuity if the disability pay he received by reason of military service was based on that initial period of service, and that's at page 695 of the opinion. That's exactly the situation that we have here. And so Baba Kaitis was not addressing the facts of this case. It was addressing a very narrow set of circumstances where the government was attempting to rely on post-civil service. Sorry, this is a tongue twister, was attempting to rely on military service that postdated the civil employment to nullify an earlier period of time. And that earlier period of time, the government admitted, was not being double counted. And then
wait,
going,
can I see if
yes.
I understand this?
Yes.
I'm not honestly familiar with that. In Baba Kaitis, he served for a certain number of years in the military. Then he went to the civil service. Did he ask for that? Did he make a deposit and ask for that military service to be credited towards his civil service?
I believe so, Your Honor.
My understanding was, correct me if this is wrong, but that he actually retired from the civil service and got credit for the military period and his civil service period when he retired.
Yes,
so he was under CSRS, and he got a CSRS pension at that point.
Yes.
Then he went back to the military.
Yes. Right?
Okay.
And he went back to the, I think I answered your
oh, yeah,
question,
you,
Judge
Hughes. I was, this, and so then he went back to the military and served another period of military service, became disabled, and got a military pension based upon that.
Yes, and when he got that.
But that's not the scenario here, right?
No.
None of this is, he, and I assume in Babakaitis he actually made a, the deposit for the military service to get a CSRS pension if he was required to. And none of that is was used for a basis for the disability pension, the first period.
That's right. The government conceded that the first 10-year period of service was not the basis for the military retirement. And this case is really more like, is in fact, is on fours with the Francis
And in this
decision.
Case, the military, the disability retirement is based upon the military service.
Service, right. All of Mr. Stewart's military service preceded his civil service. His disability retirement is can only be based on that first period.
In Babakaitis, footnote 2, we say that the Navy advised OPM that Babakaitis' disability pension was, in its view, that is, in the view of the Navy, based solely on his post-civil service. Was that actually established on the record? Because that does seem like a key distinction between that case and this case. And I'm just wondering, can we rely on that as being the facts there? Or is it just the government didn't contest it? Does that make a difference?
I don't think it makes a difference. But what I suspect happened, I don't have the record in Babakaitis, but I suspect that during the communications, for example, when Mr. Babakaitis might have first sought reconsideration of OPM's decision, so before it even gets to the board, OPM may have solicited information from the Navy about the Navy's views, and I think that's probably how that information got into the administrative record at the board.
Let me ask you this, because I, maybe like Mr. Stewart, I've been a little bit confused here. At 695, we wrote in Babakaitis, in Babakaitis' case, the Navy based his annuity on the percentage of disability method, which provided a larger amount, not on length of service. Now, that sentence may be out of context, sure, but doesn't it seem to at least suggest that when you use the percentage of disability method, you are not actually using the length of service, the years of service, and therefore the military disability retirement was not, quote, based on service? Is there a little bit of ambiguity there?
Your Honor, I do think the context is important, and I in Babakaitis, the court first determines that the disability retirement is not based on that first period of service. And the way I read this was that sort of out of an abundance of caution, then the court goes on to look to see if the disability, if that first 10-year period of service is somehow some other way being relied upon to give rise to the retired pay. And so in that context, the court then looks to see if the retired pay is being based on his length of service to include both periods before and after his civil service. So that statement, I think, really only makes sense in the context of Mr. Babakaitis' very unique situation. And here, Mr. Stewart's calculation is based on his percentage of disability, but that disability arises from the period, the one and only period of service that he has predating his employment with the civil.
The entitlement is based upon service. The
yes.
calculation is based upon percentage of disability because it results in a higher amount
That's
in
right.
years of service.
That's right.
Anything else?
No. We respectfully request that the court affirm.
Mr. Yancey, you have some time for rebuttal.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. You don't have anything for rebuttal?
No.
Okay. The case is submitted. Thank you.